You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate, where NFL legends live on, with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lasseri. Available on TuneIn and Podbean. Now, back to Chris and Bob.
Just listen.
And now back with us and making his ninth appearance on the Kyven Foods guest line is Thursday Night Tailgate Hall of Famer and Vikings Hall of Famer and Chargers Hall of Famer and the list of Hall of Fames that Ed is a part of, you know, as long as you can shake a stick at. He's certainly one of our favorite guests and one of our favorite people, by the way. Oh, by the way, anywhere on the planet. And like I say, that's Mr. Ed White. And Ed first joined us back in March of 2013. He's become a wonderful friend and has left a lasting positive impression on both Bob and I. And let me give you a little bit more of Ed's background. He played his college ball at Cal, where he was a defensive tackle, oh, by the way, and was a consensus All-American back in 1986. Switched over and played guard in the NFL from 69 to 1985 for the Vikings and the Chargers. Was a four-time Pro Bowl selection. He played in all four Super Bowls for the Vikings back in the 1970s, one of only 10 guys to do that. Like I said, he is a member of the Vikings' 25th and 40th anniversary teams and has been named one of the 50 greatest Vikings of all time. He's also on the Chargers' 40th and 50th anniversary teams, and he's a member of their Hall of Fame. He was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2000, and he is also a member of the University of California Hall of Fame, the Breitbart Hall of Fame, the East-West Shrine Game Hall of Fame. He was named to the Pac-12 All-Century Team, and like I said, he is one of our Thursday Night Tailgate guest Hall of Famers as well. And on top of all of that, Ed is one of the best artists on the planet. And if you haven't seen Ed's artwork, please go to edwhiteart.com online to check it out. And we are delighted he is back with us again here tonight on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Ed, Chris and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hi, Ed.
Well, you're welcome. Great to be back. I didn't realize I'd been on nine times.
Indeed, you have.
Time goes fast.
Yes,
well, it's good to be on.
Thank you, Ed. So, yeah. Ed, I want to kind of get your perspective as a guy who's lived in San Diego for a long time. You know, the folks over there haven't gone into an NFL season without the Chargers since 1960. So, curious, you know, what's the vibe around town? Are people hurt? Are they resentful? Or are they going to remain Charger fans even though they're in LA now? How are the folks feel around San Diego?
You got to start out with a hard question, right? Can I just say something? Can I say something first? I was able to catch a little bit of that interview with Matthew, and man, what a fantastic guy that's working in it's a tough area, Long Beach, and man, articulate and squared away, and that really makes me feel good about the type of players and type of guys that are coming out of the league today. But okay, let me answer your question now. Sorry, I had to
that's
say
okay,
that.
Please.
Yeah, and you know, I think I grew up in San Diego, thinking I was Paul Lowe, and you know, in the streets growing up and watching them, and it is just a great hole here, and I think for a lot of people, you know, there's not very much news about the Chargers, and you know, it's just it's a void, and I think it's the same void that a lot of other cities that have had teams yanked away, the Oilers, Cleveland. It's just a sad thing.
And so, you know, Ed, you know, for a guy like you who, you know, was a part of the Charger organization, you know, for 8 years and, you know, like I say, a member of their Hall of Fame, are you a Charger through and through? It doesn't matter where they play, or do you consider yourself a San Diego Charger and not an L.A. Charger?
I guess I consider myself a San Diego Charger, but at the same time, I feel like there's still the Chargers up there. I worked for the Spanoses as a coach after I played, and I really think they want to put the best team on the field with the best people coaching. And I have nothing bad to say about the family. I heard the economics professor at San Diego State make a comment on the news the day after they signed up in LA that his signature then made the net worth of the team increase by $3 billion. So, you know, it's hard to criticize a business plan making a business decision. It's easier for me to say, hey, I'm a fan and have been for a long time, but you know, you yanked us by doing that. But you know, in reality, he's got a big investment, and you know, I think it was strictly a monetary decision.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, your playing days. And like I mentioned in your intro, you started out as a defensive tackle when you went to Cal, and
right.
you were pretty darn good being named consensus All-American at that position. So why did the Vikings, you know, if they drafted you in the second round and then they move you to the other side of the ball? What led to all of that?
Well, Chris, that's it's funny. You said something. I went to Houston for the Super Bowl and did a thing for Dan Pastorini, a fundraiser for Dan, and Joe Green was there. And I played with Joe Green in three or four, five of maybe All-Star games. And he said, Ed, you know, you started in front of me. I went, well, I didn't remember that totally, and. He said, I've always wondered why they moved you. And I said, well, the purple people eaters. And that's exactly why they moved me. They drafted me to play offensive guard. They knew that I was a defensive lineman. And, you know, I would have loved playing defense. I could have played defense, and I think I would have excelled at defense. But, you know, I don't think my career would have been nearly as long. You know, people are down around your legs. And you know, they just don't last as long. And, so I probably in the long run was better off adapting to a new position.
Bob, questions for Ed?
Ed, it's always an honor to speak with you. And I got to tell you, Ed, in addition to all your honors and how much we love you, I always think highly of you when I'm shoveling snow in New England in the middle of January. I think of Ed White on the beaches in Southern California wearing a flowered shirt with a cold drink, painting, and I'm saying to myself, some guy's got the life, you know? So,
well, Bob, it's good to hear your voice too, my friend. But I want to paint a different picture for you. I live at 5,000 foot above San Diego in the mountains, and I'm shoveling snow too.
Holy cow, well, I got
believe
the scenery,
not,
right?
Not a lot, but I am.
That's great. But and speaking of the cold, Ed, you know, a guy, the first thing that comes to my mind, a guy from San Diego, a California boy, ends up in Minnesota for 9 years. Do you ever, this is the old Metropolitan Stadium, we're not talking about a Metrodome, we're talking about outdoors. Do you ever get used to that, Ed, or do you find ways to get a little warmer from week to week?
You know, I got to tell you, Bob, as I look back on it, first of all, I played in a much colder game in San Diego, a couple of colder games, one being the Freezer Bowl in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple others in freezing rain in Atlanta. And, you know, it was amazing. But it was such a wonderful experience driving into that stadium with the parking lot at 10 o'clock in the morning for a 1 o'clock game filled with people barbecuing and smoke going up and, you know, dressed in their snowmobile suits and having a good time. And I would drive in there and think, man, you know what? I'm going to be doing this someday. And I think that it really was a huge advantage for us playing outdoors. And I'm glad we did, because most people, you know, think the worst and prepare for the worst. I remember when San Diego played, when we played in that Freezer Bowl, our equipment man was so concerned about being warm and having scuba diving gloves and this, that, and the other. Well, we never thought about that. We just went out and played the game and, you know, got warm on the sideline in between and figured that the other team was going to get psyched out. And they did. And it was a huge, huge advantage for us. And I think it's a big advantage for the teams in the NFL that haven't gone the way of the huge dome stadiums and gone indoors. And I think, brother, how many of them, probably a couple still in existence, but it's a huge advantage.
And Ed, I look back on your career, and I remember early 70s. To me, a guy like yourself, why you deserve Hall of Fame, not just because of your longevity, is because you basically revolutionized the guard position. You know, back in the day, tell me if I'm wrong, Ed, back in the 70s, it seemed to me like any guy that was maybe bigger than 250 pounds couldn't, quote-unquote, move too well and was going to be on the line. You, without all the, you also had all this strength and were on all these competitions, I remember, but you were incredibly, incredibly nimble. And to me, kind of after you, late 70s, 80s, that's when we saw offensive linemen start coming out of college who were athletic. So that's what I have to give a lot of credit to guys like yourself that kind of took away that stigma that guys could not move on the offensive line.
Well, you're right, Bob. Unfortunately, we've got to be old-timers to remember that. But I sort of was on the cusp of what they were calling the watch charm guard. I don't know if you remember that term. But they were the guys that it was a sweep. When I started at Minnesota, but our big play was a sweep, the Green Bay Packers sweep. Everybody was running and sweeping. And at the end of my career, everybody was zone blocking and not running too far. So, the athletic ability, I think these guys are just as athletic. I don't think there's any question about it, but they're so much bigger. They're, they're 340 or 50 pounds. They're what I weigh now, but they're playing it that way. I'm not sure I could get down in a stance. I know I couldn't get out of one, but they're huge people that are doing a different type of blocking. You just don't see a lot of lateral movement, pulling, and that kind of thing.
And Ed, you mentioned Joe Green a few moments ago, and you like Bob said, you are obviously one of the top teams of the 1970s, having gone to four Super Bowls in that decade, and you were frequently matched up against some of the greatest front fours in the history of the game. You played against the Steelers and the Cowboys and the Rams and the Raiders and the Redskins and the Packers, Bears, so many of the greatest players of the time, right? You were regularly matched up against those guys. So talk about what it was like going up against those guys, and who were some of the guys that were just plain nasty to go up against on a play in play out basis.
Well, a lot of them, and I'll mention them, but I got to mention this, that, I did a painting, and we're going to, it's going to be part of the opening season for the Vikings, and I did, it's the offensive line and the defensive linemen dressed as Vikings, and a ship in the middle with Bud Grant and all that kind of stuff, and I was asked to write about it, and I started writing about the fact that I think the reason we were so good in the trenches is because I faced Alan Page every day. And when you face Alan Page every day, on Sunday, the task is probably not quite as great as you faced all week long. And, Alan was a lightning quick 255-pound, 260-pound defensive lineman, Hall of Famer, that got me ready. And I hope I got him ready. And we did. We got each other ready, and right down the line, Carl Eller, Jim Marshall, Gary Larson, Doug Sutherland, all those guys were phenomenal hard workers, and we worked hard. And I think that was a big key to our success. Was up front, we worked hard, and it showed on Sunday. And when you go up against the best, Bob Lilly, probably the top player I went against, Joe Green, Merlin Olsen, those guys were phenomenal, phenomenal players. And then the Packers, the Bob Brown, and a huge, strong, physical guy, back then the middle linebackers were all like Nitschke. I think Nitschke was 6'6", 260 pounds. And, the middle linebackers were like linemen back then because they played the even defense. So those guys were studs. So Mike Lucci, on and on and on. They were just big physical people.
And that is, as we've said many times, right, and you just talked about it, you know, a moment ago, you're certainly one of the best artists anywhere on the planet. So you talked about the painting you're doing for the Vikings. Update us on your artwork and, you know, where people can go to see, you know, all the great things that you're doing.
Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. And, you know, thank you for all the guys because, you know, you guys were the first to really you know, give back to guys that are help you guys with the show in terms of helping them with their careers, and I appreciate it, and I know the other guys do as well, and we really thank you guys for that. I have two sites, edwhiteabstracts.com and edwhiteart.com, and I'm on Facebook, Ed White, or I can't remember Big Ed, I don't even remember what it is, and Twitter the same thing, Ed White Art. And I just, you know, show my stuff there. Don't really make a ton of effort to sell it, but occasionally somebody wants to buy something and we work out a deal and I send them a painting, which is nice.
Yes, it is. Ed, you're a treasure to both Bob and I, and I know to, you know, the people in San Diego and, you know, Viking fans, Chargers fans and all that, but we can't thank you enough for being so good to us and you know, all that you've come to mean to Bob and I, and, you know, like I say, nine times on the show and Thursday Night Tailgate Guest Hall of Famer and all of that, but thank you so much for your time and for your, you know, continued support. You're, like I say, you're a real treasure to both Bob and me.
Well, Chris, Bob, you guys are, you're the best. I appreciate it. And again, I like I just mentioned, I appreciate the guys that you have on the show. They're, it's always class guys, and I enjoy listening to the end of the interviews. They're fantastic. And Matthew tonight was really a joy to listen to a young guy like that. And so, and I appreciate what you guys are doing. And helping players. That's always been my big, you know, impetus. And as a player rep for the Vikings for 7 years, and you know, it's just trying to fight for the rights of players. And you know, there's a lot going on when it comes to that right now. I've got a lot of buddies I played with that you know, are suffering with the head injury thing, and hopefully a resolution is going to come with that that'll help out some of these families, and you know, we go from there.
Well, Ed, thank you so much again for your time tonight, and we hope you'll come back soon, my friend, because it's, like I say, it's always a great time to spend time with you.
And same here. Thank you very much, guys. Have a good night.
Take care.
All right, take care, Ed.
All right, thanks, Bob. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That is former Vikings and Chargers Pro Bowl guard Ed White. And, Bob, you know, he's got a couple of his line mates in the Hall of Fame, and, you know, Mick Tinglehoff and Ron Yeary. But, and, you know, Ed is in, like I said when in the intro, a lot of Hall of Fames. It's one of the mysteries, I think you'll agree, to both of us, is how it has been so long. A guy that played 17 years at a Pro Bowl level, you know, in the trenches, never, you know, really never missed any time, was in there playing and play out. How he's not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame is a mystery to me.
And it's not a longevity thing, Chris. 241 games, but this guy was incredible at what he did. Like I said, I'm not overstating it when I think he revolutionized the guard position back in the early 70s. And it's no coincidence, Chris, when he landed in San Diego in 78, 79, that's when Dan Fouts started becoming Dan Fouts. The numbers started getting gaudy and everything. So it's guys like Ed White that are responsible for this and don't get the credit. I'll go to my grave thinking this guy, well, I know he's a Hall of Famer. It's just a matter of politics now, whether he gets in. But, you know, I'll always just think of Ed White as wearing the flowered shirt, looking at blue skies. I see these pictures of him, Chris, and I'm saying, this is not fair. You know, some guys, it gives me a peaceful feeling when I just picture Ed White overlooking the ocean painting. And I'll just leave it at that tonight because I'm at peace right now.
And oh, by the way, Dan Fouts is one of the guys, you know, singing from the mountaintops, right, that Ed White deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, kudos to Dan for doing that, and he's 100% right. All right, when Bob and I come back, we'll be turning on the Thursday Night Tailgate Spotlight on the positive, hear which players are doing great things in their communities, and then we'll wrap up the show. We'll do all of that on the other side of these words from our friends over at Kyven Foods and the Salt Creek Golf Retreat.
This is Reggie Kelly, former Cincinnati Bengals and Atlanta Falcon tight end, and I'm the owner of Kyven Foods. And if you enjoy delicious food, you're going to love my Kyven products, which consists of our honey apple salsa, sweet barbecue sauce, and an array of seasonings. For store locations, online orders, and recipes, check out our website at www.kyven82.com. That's KYVAN82.com. One taste, and you'll appreciate the goodness.
If you're looking for a great place for your annual golf outing, a weekend golf getaway, or just a round of golf with your buddies, then Salt Creek Golf Retreat is just what you're looking for. Centrally located in Nashville, Indiana, just south of Indianapolis and west of Cincinnati, this challenging but fair 18-hole golf course appeals to all skill levels, and its scenic views of rolling hills and tree-lined fairways are sure to make golfing memories for years to come. Owned and operated by former Purdue and New York Giants fullback Randy Manier, Salt Creek Golf Retreat offers stay-and-play packages that include golf and a fully furnished one- or two-bedroom condo. After your round, be sure to stop by the 19th hole sports bar and restaurant for great food, fun, and drinks. Randy and his staff will treat you like family. For more information, log on to saltcreekgolf.com. That's saltcreekgolf.com. Or give them a call at 812-558-5944. Salt Creek Golf Retreat. Start making your golfing memories today.
Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened here tonight.